good to be with you today. I'm Dan Moose. My wife Cheryl and I have been a part of the church, I don't know how long, and it's great to be with you as we come to worship and focus on the Lord's Prayer. How's your prayer life been? Up, down? I'm watching. Some this way. I got one over here sideways, some sideways ones, some up ones, some down ones. You know, I think isn't that part of normal Christian life? Have you found that out? There's times when we kind of go up and we get places where we're closer to the Lord and it seems like our prayer life is really exciting. And then there's other times that our prayer life is just kind of... Have you ever had times when you're praying and it just feels like your prayer's just about that high? And then there's other times that you don't know why and all of a sudden just it's like you're just in the very presence of God. And that's why we're going through this series on prayer. And today we're going to deal with our Father's forgiveness. Again, we realize the purpose and privilege of prayer is to see our Father's face, to receive His grace and mercy so that we can live in His peace and joy, to bring glory to His name in all that we do. Usually, when I think about prayer, I'm not sure that I consider it a privilege. You know what I'm talking about? Do you have that same trouble? It's something we have to do. And how do we get to a place where it is that privilege where we can really just lean into it and enjoy it and grow in that together? So as we, the last 3 weeks, 3 weeks ago, I shared and we just went out. We're coming back. 3 weeks ago, we shared that about our Father's who's in heaven. We really thought about His rightful place, who He really is, and how do we give Him the proper respect that is due Him. How do we place Him in the rightful place? Then a couple weeks ago, Andy preached on focusing on His kingdom. And what really touched me about that sermon was the idea that when we're praying, most of us end our prayer with, "If it is Your will," something like that, right? Really, in the Lord's Prayer, where is it? It's second. And that's what Andy brought out, the idea of, as we're praying, are we focusing on God's will? And if we would start that, our prayers probably would be a little different. They'd probably not be as focused on me. They'd probably be more focused on us and ours. And so, as we start to see the kingdom. And then last week, Matt preached on our daily bread, how our Father really loves to meet all of our daily needs. We need to be praying, and it's in our Father. As we look at our Father, who is the King, that we should be shape our needs, prayer for about things around the kingdom. And finally, that we have a big God. Are you making your prayers God-sized? Today, as we look, we want to focus on our Father's desire for our being in a right relationship with Him and with one another. And you know what? This is the crux of the gospel. What we're doing right now as you're going through the Lord's Prayer, you see right now it changed. The first two were focused on God. The second was focused on us and our needs. Now it's going to start focusing on the spiritual aspect, how we take care of our spirit, how do we really care for our soul. And this will be for the next 3 weeks. So as we go to do that, let's pause for prayer, and then we'll turn in our Bibles to Matthew 6 and read this passage together. Father God, we want to thank You for the privilege that You give us to come to You and talk to You. We thank You, Father God, that You love us and You've shown that through Jesus Christ. And Father, today as we look at this passage here in the middle of this, that it's kind of tough, that Lord, You'd help us to understand it, that we would be open to really hearing Your truth, and Father, that we'd be quick to respond to anything You speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord God. Lead us. And I pray that You'd take these thoughts that You've laid on my heart and make them clear and help me to share them in a way that would really help to encourage Your children, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lead us now, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at our passage, Matthew 6, 9 through 15. probably some of us can have, but we can have it all memorized because part of it we've had already, but starting with verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when you sin against you, when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Kind of a strong warning. So as we look today at, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our, have forgiven our debtors, we're looking at our Father's forgiveness. And what I'd like us to do for the first few moments here is just really look what happens at forgiveness. Because I think if we understand forgiveness from God's perspective and what he does in our life, then we can start to understand what God is calling us to share with someone else. As we think of forgiveness, we need to first think of our God, who is our creator. He's holy. And being a holy God, that means he's totally other than us. He's also morally perfect. That means that he is without sin, but also that he cannot sin. So sin to him is something that's just abhorrent. In fact, that's why on the cross, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because at the time of his death, he had all the sins of the world on himself, right? Our sins included. God couldn't look on him. Think about this. The first time in all eternity where the sin had separated. And that was our sin. But we realize that God also being just and righteous and loving and merciful, that this is the God who created us and he wants us in right relationship. We, on the other hand, are his creation. We're created in his image, and everyone's created in his image. And as being created in every image, that means that we have likeness to him. But we also need to realize we're born into sin. Not only were we born into sin, we practice sin. We affirmed who we are, right? And we've seen that. How old does your children have to be before you can figure that out? It's kind of amazing how soon they start to just, and you start to see that independence. And so also do they practice it, but I think another thing about us as people is we're independent. And the sad part is our God wants us to be dependent on him, and we're independent, and many of us are proud and happy we are. We're content in doing it our own way. The scripture says we're dead in our sins and transgressions. Also, Ephesians 2 says that we're objects of God's wrath, and we have no way to get back into a right relationship with our Creator God. We're hopeless. What did we need? I'm going to ask questions. I haven't done that yet, and we're going to start doing it. What do we need then? Anybody? If we're this separated from God, what do we need from God? We need his grace. We need forgiveness. And as we need forgiveness and his grace, because of his great love for us, he has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, his son, and restored us into a right relationship. When you and I placed our faith in Jesus Christ to become our Lord and Savior, at that point there, God forgave you of all of your sins. He could do that because of Jesus' death, life, and resurrection. And he also sent Jesus to take all of our sins. So what happened to you? What happened at that point when you asked God to forgive you? You said something like this. You probably prayed a prayer, something like this. God, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I want to turn from my way and I want to follow you. I put my trust in Jesus Christ. That is really the point where we came to Christ. You may have not prayed those exact words, but that's a point of salvation. And when you came to salvation, what happened? What happened at that point when you were forgiven? Well, this is when God pours out his forgiveness on you. And at that point there, all of your sins were nailed to the cross. Past, present, and future. Secondly, you were transformed and you were made a child of God. You were adopted. You were given a legal status as his son and daughter. You were declared righteous. Another term for that is that's our justification. Not only were we forgiven, but we were declared righteous. We were cleansed from all of our unrighteousness. We received Christ's righteousness so that God looks at us and sees us through the work of Christ. We were given a peace with God, our Father. And we were brought back into right relationship with God. And our sin was removed how far? The scripture says as far as the east is from the west. That's forgiveness, folks. That's the privilege we have. And as we look back, we need to take time many times to ponder how much and how great God's forgiveness has been for us. Because as we understand God's forgiveness, then we can better pass that on to somebody else. Also, you need to realize that when we were forgiven, we were brought into a right relationship with God. That's right status. And that's important. Because if you're truly a follower of Christ in faith, that can't be taken away. You're always in right status. And so you're in the right relationship. But then why does Jesus tell us to pray and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors? Or in Luke 11, I like the passage there, it says, forgive us our sins for we as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. So why are we told to ask for sin, forgiveness? Well, I believe as we look at this passage, we need to stop and realize that we need to be forgiven daily for the sins we live out, the sins that we practice, as sins that are happening during life. It may be your attitude. You may have an attitude today that, you know, you're just kind of, have you ever been that way? Or it may be that thing that I'm worried and I'm fretting. It may be that anger issue that pops up. And the thing is, we need to realize that those sins don't remove us from a right relationship with Jesus Christ. We still have our status. We are still a child of God. Remember that, folks, because as we look later on, it'll come out. We have a right status in Christ. But the thing we need to realize is Jesus is telling us that God knows that we are still prone to sin, that our sins break that personal relationship with our Father. And the only way we can thrive in our walk with God is through that personal relationship being restored and renewed daily. And that's why we need to daily confess our sins, daily repent, and live what I call a repentant lifestyle. These sins break that personal relationship, but not our legal status of being at new creation. The best way I could understand it, we might pick on Luke today. Okay, Luke? Luke, he did something, and he knows he did something wrong. So what's the first thing he does? He kind of stays as far away from mom and dad as he can, right, Luke? You just kind of keep it down there. If you're like I was, Luke, what you did is you made sure you kept it hidden. You weren't quick to go and admit to it because, you know, oh, I'm going to get in trouble. Right? So too often you're afraid to go talk to mom and dad because, you know, what if they figure it out? What if they find it out? So we really start to be where we back off from the relationship. But the beauty of it is when we can finally come and admit, yes, I did that. And even as a kid now, I look back and I was thinking of that today. There's many times, very seldom I went and said, I did it. Because they had to come and say, Dan, you did it. And then they convinced me I did it, and then I'd say yes. But you know, even if there was punishment with it, after I did that, there was a renewed relationship back again with my folks. Because there was nothing I was hiding. Do you know what? This is what this passage is talking about. I believe this is what God is trying to help us to understand, is that we need to be daily confessing our sin so that there's nothing between us and the Father. That's why I call it a repentant lifestyle. Because as we're living a repentant lifestyle, that means that we hear when the Holy Spirit says, hey, Moose, that was wrong, you sinned. And then I need to be quick to come and say, Father, you're right, that was sin. But not just stop at sin, saying it's sin, but asking him to forgive me and say that I'm going to turn my face back to him and do what he's asking me to do. That's the repentant lifestyle. And that's what we as believers, as Jesus is teaching us through this prayer, we need to be living in that all the time. We need to be quick to do that. And we need to realize one other thing. God is waiting for us to do it. You look at Revelation 3:20. You may have heard this passage before. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and answers, I'll come in and sup with him. You read the verse before that. That's about repentance. He's telling the church at Laodicea, come to me and repent. So God wants us to be walking in a repentant lifestyle. God wants us to be quick to say, Father, forgive me. And that should be something we do daily, regularly, sometimes many times during the day. But as we look at this passage, that's just the first part of the prayer that Jesus is teaching us to pray. He said, then also including that, Father, forgive my sins or my debt of sins, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Or in the Luke passage, it says, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Think about that a minute. Forgive me my sins as I have forgiven other sins. Is God saying we have to earn our forgiveness? I agree, Rachel, no. We have to use names because, you know, this is unique for me. But the idea you have to realize is, no, he's not. God is trying to help us to see, I believe, that our forgiveness of others reveals our true attitude, which makes real forgiveness possible. Let's try that again. Our forgiveness of others reveals our true attitude, which makes real forgiveness possible. Our forgiveness of others shows that we have grasped the great forgiveness that God had given us, and that we desire to live the life of loving God. And what's that other part of the repentance? Loving God and loving others as myself. So we start to see here that God is trying to show us something. I like how John Stott put it. He said, once our eyes have been opened to see the enormity of our offense against God, the injuries which others have done to us appear like, by comparison, extremely trifling. Wow. Once we see the enormity of our sin, that's why it's important we see that, then things other people do to us are just kind of small. He closes it this way. If, on the other hand, we have an exaggerated view of the offenses of others, it proves that we have minimized our own sin. Oh. So what God, I think, is saying in this passage is, he's saying, you're saying, Father, forgive me as I forgive others, because forgiveness is something that flows through me because of what you've done in me. Or another way to say it is, our forgiveness of others shows our true repentance and desire to live in God's full grace and mercy. But how important is the matter of unforgiveness of others? Well, That last statement by Jesus regarding Lord's Prayer just kind of rattles us, because it says, "For if we forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Verse 15 says, "But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Again, let's go back to what we said earlier. This is not dealing with our legal status in Christ. Again, we know this passage is to whom? It's to the disciples. It's to the followers of Christ. So he's not questioning our legal status, our relationship. He is, though, bringing out that if we forgive others, God forgives us, and he draws us back in that personal relationship, and we have that right relationship, not only legally, but now we have nothing between us and the Father, so we can come boldly into his presence. But he's saying, if we don't forgive others, what's he saying? It's going to hinder and it's going to stop me from letting you. You won't be able to come walking boldly into my presence. Because why? Because fear. Because sin. And what is the sin? Well, the sin is the sin of unforgiveness. If you want to look further, you can go and look at the passage in Matthew 18, 21 through 35. And it's a parable of the unmerciful servant. If you remember that parable, this is where Jesus talks about a owner of servants, and the servant brings the servants one day. He calls the one in and he says, "Man, you owe me millions and millions of dollars, and you can't ever pay it back, and I'm going to throw you in jail and to you, because you're no good for anything for me." And the servant falls on his face and he cries out and he says, "Forgive me. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do whatever I can." And do you remember what the owner does? He forgives him. He forgave him millions of dollars right there. And the unmerciful servant walks out and he goes and grabs a guy who owes him $100 and says, "You got to pay me." "I can't pay you." The guy falls and asks for forgiveness. He says, I can't. So he has him thrown in jail. And then the owner hears about his unmerciful servant, and brings him in. And again, now he says, "You have to," he casts him in jail and he says, "You have to pay me back every penny you owe me." Or another passage it kind of shares this is the Hebrews 12:15 passage, where it says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Bitterness. What causes bitterness? Unforgiveness. Have you ever been around a bitter person? I had a fella back in the first church before we came out to our first church plant out here in Minnesota. We had the mother church. We had a fellow that I knew, and just a bitter. He was a guy, and he was probably 70s, and he was just bitter. He loved Jesus. He would talk about Jesus, but he just so bitter. He was mean. He just was cantankerous and ornery because he was so bitter. Everybody was doing him wrong, and it just kept growing. And the sad part is, because of it, it caused much trouble. His kids had turned away from him. He lost his friends because of bitterness, that unforgiveness of other people. And in fact, one day he and I were talking, and I asked him, I says, "Do you think you need to forgive?" And when I brought that up, literally, he hung up the phone. He started yelling and hung up the phone on me. And that was the next to the last conversation we've ever had together. Because unforgiveness had so destroyed him and was destroying him and his life. And Jesus wants us to understand and grasp how devastating unforgiveness is for any of his followers. We need to realize that unforgiveness of others is totally incompatible for a truly forgiven person. Remember, we're like the unmerciful servant, right? In the parable, God has forgiven us so, so much. So what do we need to do? Turn the same to others. Secondly, unforgiveness of others shows that we don't grasp how great a debt God has forgiven us of. It also shows that we want to be the judge and the jury. We still want to be in control. We want to make sure the other person does what we want them to do. Unforgiveness of others shows that we aren't living a repentant life. But here's even a scarier part. Unforgiveness of others breaks our fellowship with our Heavenly Father. It puts us at a distance of Him. And we're not in that close relationship. It's back like when I did something wrong to my parent, did something wrong as a kid, and I don't want to be around my parents. And because of that, two things happen. That hinders our prayer life. That makes our prayer life one that we don't want to go to God. We're not quick to go to God. And also, it causes us to be slow to hear the Holy Spirit's leading. Because when we're distant, we can't hear. And that's why when we're praying, "Our Father, forgive us as we forgive others," we're stating, "Lord, forgive me. Because I want to be in that right relationship, but I don't want anything between me. So as I forgive others, I want to forgive others. So forgive me as I forgive others." And it needs to become part of my daily life. Our willingness to forgive others as we've been forgiven shows the work of the Holy Spirit in us and that our forgiveness is true. So when we pray, "Our Father, forgive me," or "forgive us," and it's again, it's plural, "forgive us of our sins as we forgive others," we're stating, "Lord, we want to live in a true heartfelt forgiveness through Jesus Christ and to give that forgiveness to others through the power of the Holy Spirit." We need to realize one other thing. Only as we live in true forgiveness can we really, and only live in and live out true forgiveness, can we ever truly be right with all the people around us. So as we think about this prayer, what are some thoughts we need to ponder? I think there's three I'd like to look at today. Number one is, have you experienced our Father God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ? If you're with us today and you're a person who's never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, this is a good place to start. Because this is Him reaching out and say, "Come," and He'll forgive you. He says in His word that if you come to Him, He'll no way turn you away. Come. So I would ask you to think about that. And as if you are a follower of Jesus Christ today, I would ask you to think about how much and how thankful are you for His forgiveness. I think too often we may not say in our prayers, "Thank you for forgiving me." Secondly, to what degree are you living a daily repentant life? Each day, to what degree are you living a life where, as the Holy Spirit says, "Moose," and your name's not Moose, but you, He speaks to you and says, "Hey, this is not right. This goes against your relationship with me." Are we quick to come and say, "Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. And restore me into that right relationship." And we need to be doing that daily. I find in my own personal life, there's days that you get to running so busy that you just don't take time to stop and hear. And then what it does break my relationship because I'm just not even asking. I'm not living a repentant life. But then the third question is there anyone you need to forgive from your heart, just as Jesus Christ, our Father God, forgave you? As we have talked about bitterness, is there anybody that you say, "Boy, you know, that jerk did me wrong"? And you can feel it right now, even as we're talking. Or you may say, idiot, or something else. But you know, that person did me wrong. And you haven't been able to release that and forgive them as God has forgiven you. Here's one warning that we need to realize. When we don't forgive others, that gives Satan a foothold to cause trouble in our life. And I'd pray that you would think about that, because if there's somebody, anybody, I had a friend that one day he'd been struggling in his spiritual walk for a long time. And as he's struggling in his spiritual walk, one day we're praying, and he started praying about people, who should he need to forgive? And he said, I've forgiven everybody. And then all of a sudden, I just said, have you forgiven? And the person said, just popped up. He says, no, this person, I remember very clearly, this person 29 years ago did this to me. Well, you know, at that point there, that's really real. But you know what? He stopped and he says, you know, I want to forgive him. And he didn't go and talk to him. He said, Father, I forgive this person. And at that moment, he turned to me after he prayed and he says, Moose, I just have a new freedom. I just have a new close relationship with the Father again. And I feel that I have victory over some areas in my life that I don't think that I know I didn't have before. And so I would encourage you that as you pray in your prayer time, that you make sure that you have this principle. Father, forgive my sins, my debt of sins, as I forgive those who have sinned against me. And in closing, I want you to remember one thing. Unforgiveness of another person will break your personal fellowship with our Father God and will hinder your prayer life. Remember to start, I said, how's your prayer life? Up, down, whatever? I don't know about you, but I can't afford to have anything more hinder my prayer life. I do that enough on my own. Let's pray. Father, we do want to thank you for the time we can share together. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit's working in our lives. We thank you, Father, that you have forgiven us for all of our sins. Lord, that you nailed them to the cross through Jesus Christ, and today we can come victoriously and free. I pray, Father God, that you would lead us and help us as we apply this principle to our prayer life. Father, if there's anyone here or anyone who hears our voice who's struggling with unforgiveness of another person, I pray, Father God, that you would help them today determined to forgive that person from their heart and release them and let you have that whole, take care of the whole thing. Lord, strengthen us, because Father, we want to walk in that privilege of being in your presence, of seeing your face, of knowing your grace and mercy, so that we can live our lives in such a way that they'll please you in everything. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.